Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Ben Crenshaw, you make my morning every Saturday, and I so appreciate you. Thank you so much. And everyone, welcome into the clubhouse. It's a fabulous day. It's going to be mostly sunny, a little breezy, so you're going to have to swing easy. Easterly winds, 15 to 25 miles per hour. Scattered showers, windward and Mauka. Isolated showers on the leeward side, so we're still going to get some rain. And tonight it's going to be partly cloudy and breezy and scattered showers, windward and Mauka. Isolated showers, leeward side. Now the low, 68. The high tonight, 73. I kind of like that. Easterlies are 15 to 25 miles per hour. Now that's for Kauai, Oahu, Maui, Molokai, and Lanai. For the Big Island, Hawaii Island, mostly sunny, breezy, leeward, and haze through the day. Thank you, Pele. Isolated showers in the afternoon, windward, scattered showers, high 83 to 88. And the northeasterlies will cool you off 15 to 25 miles per hour. So you want to get out there and not necessarily dance. Well, yeah, why not? Dancing might help loosen you up when you play your round of golf today. And if you'd like to get out, Volcano Golf Club, 832, 924, 1048. And Pele's Peeps are out too. Boy, dear, watch out. Makalei, 848, 942, 1028. And at Poipu, there's a 930, a 1020, an 1130. And a Grammy Award-winning artist is cruising around, probably resting on the lovely Garden Isle. We've also, on Oahu, got the Pearl Country Club with an 850, a 932, an 1108. Hawaii Kai has an 842 and a 1010. Turtle Bay, 836, 918, 1110. Am I going too fast? Okay, the Sandy Beach Boys are out at Turtle Bay. They just went up north. Royal Hawaiian Country Club, 848, 1024, 1136. Women mean business on the course again today. And so may you all hit the sweet spot every time. Pele's Peeps, the Grammy Award-winning artist, Sandy Beach Boys, Women Mean Business, and of course, the Ducks. Oh, yes, the Ducks are out playing at Bayview, and they've got an 830. Oh, excuse me, at the Eva Beach Golf Course. There's an 832 there and a 1008 if you'd like to get out. Bayview has an 830 and a 940 and a 1028. And now we're on Maui, where the Lady Lawyers of San Francisco, they're out playing a round of golf on the Gold Course, and you could at 840, 950, and 1020. On the Emerald Course, we've got an 11 o'clock, 1150, and a 1010. We've also got on the Blue Course, a lot of golf, you know, is being played today, and there are some tee times for you, 850, 940, 1140. And the Miller Auto Group, they're out again. They go every week. Isn't that nice? This is one of their day is Saturday. They get out on the golf course. You should do that. Maui Nui, 848, 944, and a 1032. And may you all hit the sweet spot every time. And boy, I have a terrific lineup for you this morning. Jaime Diaz is going to be on the show, the commentator, the analyst with Golf Channel, NBC Sports. Shay Campbell, he is 15 years old, and he's on the varsity team at Washington State. Claude Brousseau, PGA Master Teaching Professional at Wailea Golf Academy, is joining us as well. And Mark Rolfing, analyst and commentator, NBC Sports and Golf Channel, joins us. We'll be back right after this with Jaime Diaz. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Aloha Power Equipment, your landscape superstore. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. We put power at your fingertips. The Honolulu Sign Company, branding, banks, shopping centers, businesses, and hotels since 1939. Claude Brousseau, master teaching professional at the Wailea Golf Academy. The Aloha Section PGA. Teach your children to play golf, the gift that lasts forever.
All right, Jaime Diaz, Golf Channel insider, analyst, commentator, PGA of America Lifetime Achievement in Journalism recipient, multiple award-winning senior writer, Golf Digest. He is one of the most respected voices in the game with more than 30 years of experience covering the golf industry. He's been the editor-in-chief of Golf World, one of the best magazines ever, senior writer at Golf Digest, another best, and writer at the New York Times and Sports Illustrated. And today, Diaz contributes to the Golf Channel on several fronts. He offers his editorial coverage across Golf Channel digital platforms, in addition to making regular appearances on Morning Drive and Golf Central. A 10-time Golf Writers Association of America award winner, Diaz's long list of career accolades includes being honored as the recipient of the PGA Lifetime Achievement Award in Journalism and being recognized by Jack Nicklaus as the recipient of the Memorial Golf Journalism Award in 2014. And he's a writer. Yes, author. And we're going to talk about his books, but first let's bring him into the clubhouse. Jaime Diaz, welcome.
Thank you, Danielle. Jeez. I hope there's no more time left after all that overpraise, but thank you. I hope there's some time.
You know, I was looking at books. I have Hallowed Ground, Golf's Greatest, An Enduring Passion, The Legends and Lore of Golf, The Solheim Cup, and How Drugs Influence Behavior. Are those all yours?
The last two aren't. Might be another Jaime Diaz. But,
okay. I was like,
how drugs influence behavior. If I lived on Maui, maybe I'd know that a little better.
Hold on a minute.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay. The Maui Wowie is what you're thinking about. All right.
Yeah. I grew up in San Francisco, so a lot of contact highs and hate actors.
Oh, we digress. So let's start off. I know we're going to talk about the PGA Championship, but I really want to talk real quick about the LPGA playing the Mizuno Americas Open at Liberty National. What an incredible view. And so many lip outs on the 18th. But there is a three-way tie. Nelly Korda, Somi Lee, and Andrea Lee are all tied for the lead. This is some really exciting golf.
Well, it's a great site. You know, they had the President's Cup there. I lived in Manhattan for a while and played Liberty National, and you take the ferry over right past the Statue of Liberty, and it's a very almost a national monument in a way.
Yeah.
To go to that golf course just because it's centered in this completely unique place. I don't think there's any giant city that has a golf course that near to all the action in the downtown. So, you know, it's great for the LPGA, and obviously they got some wonderful players, and the better Nelly plays, I think the more attention is paid to the LPGA. So she's a very, not just, you know, incredible player and wonderful swinger of the club, but I think she's starting to find herself as a, you know, as an elder states person.
Ambassador, yes.
Is a really good representative of the tour. You know, superstars do carry the game, and she's very close to being that.
Yes, and I hope she's comfortable in the position. I was thinking, you know, it's a lot to carry, to be responsible for. You know, if Nelly's not at the top, then, you know, everybody's like, oh, where's Nelly? What's going on with Nelly? You know, I'm not sure I'd want to be in that position.
Well, some people thrive on it, and I think she should take pride that there's so much admiration for her game. And,
yes.
You know, the public part of it is probably not natural to her. She's a bit introverted, but she's very bright. When she does speak, it's always intelligently, and, you know, she has a good idea of the big picture and her role in the game and all the, you know, the paradox of how to handle the fame and still perform. And I think she's figuring that out, and I hope she just enjoys it going forward because it's a, you know, it's a unique privilege to be that good, and hopefully you enjoy the ride.
Absolutely. You know, that's the bottom line is embrace it, you know, just love it because, you know, as you said, you know, it's a privilege that you have those kinds of skills. Own it. Enjoy it.
And, well, And you will miss it when it's gone. So remember that, too.
Yeah, so, you know, it was... let's go straight to next week, the PGA Championship, which is actually this week, this coming week. And I think there's going to be a preview in Hawaii, 8 a.m. I think it's on CBS. I was kind of surprised that it wasn't on NBC, but it's great that we have coverage across the board. So a preview, Quail Hollow Club is the location in Charlotte, North Carolina, southeastern United States, private country club, opened in 1961. What can you tell us about Quail Hollow?
Well, it's run by a guy named Johnny Harris, who is an amazing, you know, kind of, I guess you'd call him an apostle of the game of golf. I mean, mm-hmm. He really wants to put his mark on that golf course as a kind of a mecca. And he spent a tremendous amount of money with a lot of wonderful architects coming in and refining it constantly. It's very much after the Augusta National model. You know,
wow.
You just every year you improve it. Every year you make it a better site for the spectators. And, you know, it's going to have now a major for the second time. And, of course, it has a tournament every year. And it's always well attended. And it's a beautiful place. It's a big golf course. It's got a lot of room. That's why Rory's won there four times. Part of why he's won there four times and why there's so much excitement that he could win again so soon right after the Masters. And,
yes.
You know, put another major on his resume. So it's going to be really, an eventful PGA in terms of where we are in the game. You know, Scottie Scheffler just won by whatever it was, 8 or 9, I forgot. And he seems like he's back on track, and he's been the number one player for a long time, and he's really, I think, almost underrated because he is the closest to reaching Tiger's level, I believe, of all the number ones that follow Tiger. So he's still entering his prime, and if he wins a PGA, that would add to the two majors he has with the Masters and just further cement him as really on his way to the Hall of Fame, clearly, and maybe one of the great number ones ever. And I think Rory, of course, is going to be, you know, the focal point just because of, you know, the aftermath that lingered on from that Masters. People still ask, you know, were you there? What was that like? Oh, my God, I was rooting for Rory the whole time, and people who don't even play golf. So he's a transcendent figure now, someone who I think people connect to as someone who overcame, you know, this incredible burden and put it together and won the career Grand Slam. And then, you know, you got Justin Thomas, who's starting to play much better, and
yes.
He won the PGA there in 2017. I just think it's going to be kind of this the snapshot of where we are in golf, almost as much as the Masters was.
Yeah, you know, and it's really important where we are in golf. It's like Scottie Scheffler, you said, you know, when you lose your game, boy, that hurts. And it was like he lost his game, but he found it last week. And that must have been...
Well,
yes?
You know, lost, and he might have slightly misplaced it for a moment. You know, he definitely he lost an edge. Let's put it that way. He lost his edge for a moment. And, of course, he sliced his hand rolling glass.
Right.
To use as something to make homemade ravioli. So that was a lapse in judgment. But, unfortunately, you know, it did cost him about a month and, you know, recovering from that and getting his feel back in his hand. So he had to have a surgery. A minor surgery, but yet that's a hand, and that's the most important thing for a golfer. So I think Scottie's back on track, though, to your point. And, he's probably very enthused to kind of make up slightly for lost time.
Yes. Now, one thing that I find interesting is the difference between the Tiger Woods show and the Scottie Scheffler show is Tiger had a flair about him, and Scotty is very staid, very methodical, very, you know, there's not a lot of showmanship when he plays. And I kind of miss that sort of, the old guys, sorry guys, I'm old too, Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, you know, they all had that kind of, in a different way, showmanship and camaraderie, and there was some laughter and some, you could see there was this tension at times. And that's what I miss in today's game.
Well, Danielle, we get nostalgic. I mean, Arnold had that natural charisma that just oozed out of him. And whether he was playing well, even, you know, or not later in his career when he was way past his prime and people still always wanted to see him just because he had something that really was, you know, pure, just pure theater and a real gift for people, you know, just being attracted to him as a person, as well as a golfer. You know, Jack, when he first came up, was criticized for being too introverted and too inward and not, you know, sort of emoting enough. And, you know, Jack would say, look, that's how I play golf best. Mm. And gradually he got more comfortable, and just his game alone was charismatic. And now Jack, of course, is someone who's very comfortable, well, and been for many years now, very comfortable in being a spokesman for the game and being interviewed and being in front of people. Mm-hmm. It's interesting, you know, Tiger is an introvert by nature, but when he performed, his game was so dynamic and his emotions were so intense for it that it was charismatic. And Scotty is, you know, someone who I think, much like Jack, early Jack, really feels like he plays his best golf as he controls his emotions and doesn't show a lot of, you know, any kind of either anger or joy, or just try to stay level, because that's how you keep your heart rate nice and level, and that produces the best golf. He actually is pretty gregarious, not extremely so, but you'd be surprised what a good talker he is and what a great sense of humor he has away from the galleries and away from competition mostly.
Yeah.
You know, down in Texas, so I get what you're saying, though, that, you know, I think there's no question golf was a more casual caravan, town to town, and the players felt like they had to perform to get people's interest so they'd come out and watch. And you saw Chichi Rodriguez and all kinds of players, Doug Sanders, you know, they really felt like that was part of their job. And I think now with the money so high and the players rewarded for a performance more than for any kind of showmanship, there's just less incentive to do that. Some take to it naturally. I think Bryson DeChambeau is kind of a ham, and that makes him popular.
Yes.
But most of them try to play within themselves and kind of follow the Scotty model. Rory's a little more emotive, but that can hurt him. He's talked about it. You know, he's got to control his emotions away from, you know, hurting himself with those negative emotions when he gets this, you know, angry or frustrated.
Yeah.
And Scotty is admired by his peers for how level and how he just treats each shot as equally important and doesn't get too excited or too down either way.
Yeah, you know, and it makes total sense. And for anyone listening, that is definitely the way to play this game of golf, because you just can't go up on the highs and lows. You know, you get stuck in the lows, and then you get stuck in the lows, and then you can't get out of the lows. And that's, you know, where everybody gets really frustrated. But this game that we're going to be playing here in Charlotte, North Carolina, I love how this was in southeastern United States, a private country club that opened in 1961. It's going to be interesting to see them playing and how everything comes together with Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy. That is a dynamic experience for us to watch. I am looking forward, for the first time, really looking forward to being in the TV, you know, watching to see what happens. It's going to be fun.
Well, I hope you were feeling that way at the Masters, because that's about as good as it gets.
Oh, yes. No, I was.
Only been a couple of Masters that I think could be argued to be even more exciting than what Rory did. But it was way up there in among all the Masters of all time.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I was very excited. The Masters is exciting just because it's the Masters. When I went there the one time that I was just the whole feeling, you know, and you can kind of sense that feeling when you're watching television. There's something about the air, you know, it's just a wonderful place. And if you ever get a chance to go there, folks, it's a treat, a total treat. And of course, if you can get on property, you'll have to go when there's a tournament being played. Oh, and that tournament would be the Masters. the club has hosted the PGA Tour's Wells Fargo Championship, Quail Hollow, that is, since 2003. So that's why it's familiar to us. The back nine, the drivable par four on the back nine, the 16th hole, testing the player's decision-making off the tee, a waste bunker, water. Is that the hardest one?
I think 18 is the hardest hole, just number one, because you're finishing the round and disaster lurks with water off the tee and around the green. And it's very long. I think it's about 490, maybe 500. They keep lengthening all the holes these days. So it's a medium iron in most cases, at least, which is rare for players these days to hit into a par four. And it's just, full of trouble. There's a lot of bailing out and, taking the easy bogey as opposed to challenging the green just because it's scary, especially if you're hitting the rough. So I'd say 18, but they call the last three holes the green mile, and they are extremely tough. And that's really the signature of the golf course is, can you finish at Quail Hollow? And, you were talking about the Masters early, and I just wanted to reiterate, it had sort of a patron, obviously, in Bobby Jones, but also Clifford Roberts, who just made sure that this place was going to be, something really unique in the game. And Johnny Harris, again, is sort of the modern-day Cliff Roberts, except he's extremely gregarious. And Clifford Roberts almost said nothing. But he's a man of action, put it that way. But Johnny Harris is really a charismatic leader. And I think as this PGA, well, first of all, getting the PGA, that was something that he, really orchestrated through his influence and through his persistence and through the excellence of the club. And if it goes well, he should get a lot of praise.
Awesome. Fantastic. You talked about the money, the level of the amount of money. I think I wrote out some of the numbers, and I was looking through my notes trying to see what those even if you come in, I feel you're walking away with $800,000+. It seems like the money has taken over the game in a way. I was looking at the sports betting too. Does the sports betting help the game?
Yeah, well, it unquestionably increases interest among people who may not have been connected to it otherwise. It's kind of fun to bet on, I think, for people who enjoy wagering because there's time in between shots. You can actually, actually bet on an individual shot. And so it's intriguing, but I don't know. I mean, golf's so unpredictable, I don't even know how you can really handicap it. There's so many, what they call bad beats at the end where somebody three-putts 18 or something unexpected that costs bettors millions. But to your overall point about being so much money, I mean, just even in the general society, when did $1 billion become, chump change? Like that. That phrase gets thrown around so much now among, whether it's Elon Musk or whatever, just billions and hundreds of billions, and pretty soon people are going to be trillionaires. And obviously, the influx of money into golf is attributable to the incursion of LIV coming in and offering so much money to players to jump to their league away from the PGA Tour, and the PGA Tour had to respond, and it raised purses, and it did things for players like equity programs that made them millionaires just through their past performance. There's just all kinds of money flying. I don't know if it's sustainable, really. I think the tour would like to go back, if they could, without a threat from LIV to a slightly reduced amount and just be able to be a more stable product as a result, because right now they're really stretching sponsors.
I bet.
For the commitment. And I think the players are rich enough, frankly. I mean, some of this money... I think some of them privately are like, wow, am I really worth this? And then on the other hand, some guys are going, hey, this is nothing compared to NFL and NBA money or Major League Baseball money. And I would say they're misjudging that. They're not, the golfers are not worth that much. There's so many of them, number one, and it's always been a niche sport, and I love golf, but it's simply not something that I think sustainably can compete in salary with the other big teams.
I think they're also forgetting that the body that the NFL walks away with, the physical
it's
body.
A short window. You know, the average NFL player plays 3 or 4 years.
Yes.
So they have to make what they can make. And, the PGA Tour has provided a PGA Tour champion, the senior tour. And, the career can credibly last till you're 66. Look at Bernhard Langer at 66, maybe 67 now. Correct me if I'm wrong. But in any event, the money's fine. I'm glad the players are getting rich. But there's no need to make the impression of golf one about money.
Yes.
That hurts the game.
Yes.
Not that it's bad, but it should be really about the skill of the game and the mastery of this really difficult thing presented on a beautiful stage. And love of the game. And those are the things that golf sells. It sells honor. It sells a lot of self-policing, a lot of things sponsors want to be involved with. And the minute it starts looking like it's greedy or a money grab, it hurts the game.
I couldn't agree with you more. And that's exactly where I'm at. You know, it's like, come on, you guys, dial this back, because it's ugly. You know, there's just something ugly about that. You know, those billionaires that are walking around and one day trillionaires. There's the rest of us, you know, the broad majority of us. Just quick on the LIV versus PGA Tour, or LIV and the PGA Tour. Can we really stand another year of not knowing what's going to happen with all of this?
Yeah, unfortunately, yes, we can. So it is a divided game to some extent. I think LIV's lost a little bit of juice, but I think the unpredictability of what public investment fund in Saudi Arabia, you know, run by Yasser Al-Rumayyan, that's unpredictable whether he will continue to open the checkbook and try to get more players to jump. Now, nobody has since John Rahm. I think most of the players on the PGA Tour feel like, you know, we've got a stable product here, and we have increased the purses, so the urgency to maybe weigh an offer from a rival league that doesn't look like it's gaining a lot of traction as far as audience, I think, has been quelled. I think, you know, however, they can always up the money. I mean, ooh, one thing Saudi Arabia has a lot of is money. And if they really are determined to make a global impact in the game of golf, what they've lost so far, which is estimated at like $4 or $5 billion, they can handle that. And if they want to double the offers, you know, there'll be players that take it. So I just hope there's not more fragmentation. But as far as this limbo that we're in right now, it looks like it's going to last a little longer than everybody expected at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
And it could go into next year. But I think golf will survive. The players that are over at LIV, there's several of them that are really good. But honestly, and this sounds perhaps, overly negative towards them, but they, you know, nobody's bigger than golf. Nobody's bigger than the PGA Tour individually, other than perhaps Tiger was. I don't think Bryson is. I don't think John Rahm is. No. I don't think Cameron Smith is. Joaquin Neiman, Brooks Koepka. Those are all the big names. Dustin Johnson. Golf can be fine without them, even though it's not optimal. It's still, I think, for most people, good enough. And they'll fade in memory, believe it or not, you know, which is too bad because there's some really talented guys, especially someone like Rahm, who always seems so driven. I think Dustin Johnson, he's had an incredible career. I don't think he feels like grinding anymore, and he took the money, and okay, fine. But as far as the guys who are at LIV who look like they could just jump in and be top five players, there aren't too many, and as time goes along and players on the PGA Tour, younger ones, start to take the place of the ones at the top now, their time will have passed. So I think that's the sad part of LIV, is that some really talented players are going to play some of their best years with nobody noticing or really caring about whether they win on the LIV Tour.
Yeah, I completely. And in addition to that, they're not being challenged at the level the PGA Tour challenges. They're you know, the way staggered starts and shorter time periods, it's just, it's like being at a retirement home.
Well, for some guys it is. You know, for some guys it is. And that's a choice. That's a career choice, a business choice. I respect it. I understand it.
Yeah.
However, I don't think it's been good for the game. And the game is best when the challenge is high and the best players are all together.
Jaime Diaz, boy, Golf Central insider, Golf Channel insider, analyst, commentator, PGA of America Lifetime Achievement in Journalism, so many, multiple award-winning senior writer at Golf Digest. We didn't even get to your writing. I apologize, but what a conversation. I thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse with me.
My pleasure, Danielle. Anytime. Thank you.
Thank you. Aloha. All right, we're going to come back with Shea Campbell. Yep, he is a freshman at Washington State. He's 15, and he's on the varsity team. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Yeah. Boys and girls, learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
Ah, tomorrow is a super important day. It's Mother's Day. And of course, Aloha Power Equipment, they take Sunday off. So you've got to jump on it. It's Aloha Power's Mother's Day week sale. You get 25% off major brands of landscaping equipment featuring the doorbuster sale on the Honda EU2200 generator. It's just $1,099 and a free 2-year warranty worth $250 on top of it. That's priced way better than the big box stores. If you need power on your job site, need to keep your lights on and your equipment running while others are in the dark, get your Honda generators. You want them, we've got them, and they're on sale today. We ship off island. Just give them a call. New shipments arrive daily. We're open Monday through Saturday. Aloha Power Equipment, Iwile, next to the Costco gas station, and in Waipahu. Aloha Power Equipment, we put power at your fingertips.
Hey, Mark Rolfing here. The First Tee Hawaii is a nonprofit organization that helps kids build character, confidence, and life skills through golf. And we need volunteers like you to coach our next generation of golfers. No matter your skill level, our free coach training gives you tools to mentor kids. We have locations on all the islands, and enrollment is open now for our Level 1 coach certification. Call 808-500-1515.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family, invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box, see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come, join the aloha at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
Here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Shay Campbell, golfer, freshman, Washington State, Washington. Shay Campbell is a freshman. He's 15 years old. He is on the varsity team, and he's in the clubhouse. Hey, Shay, welcome.
Hey, Danielle, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. I'm just thrilled. At, you know, 15, you're on the varsity team. So proud of you. How did you get introduced to the game?
Well, it started about almost 3 years ago. It was quite an opportunity just living next to the course. It's something I kind of just, I guess, came across. But one day I just wanted to go down. I'm naturally left-handed. I play right-handed, but I chose a left-handed, right-handed golf club, and I hit them both, and I was like, you know what? I want to play this. So it's kind of how it started.
And you were 12?
I was, yeah, 12, 13-ish. So.
Wow. You know, a lot of kids are starting when they're four now. It's wonderful.
Yeah, I wish I definitely could have started earlier, but...
But you're doing so fantastic. Look at your accomplishments. You're a phenom. What does golf mean to you now?
It's basically, I mean, it sounds kind of corny, but it's kind of part of me. I mean, I go out there every day just wanting to get better and, you know, be the best I can be. And it's hard having bad days too, because I just know I can do better. But I just want to get to the highest level that I can and just keep pushing myself. So, yeah.
Yeah. And your plans through college and beyond?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm hoping I can get better, hopefully get in front of some college coaches, maybe a scholarship. But I'm going to focus on small parts at a time, try and finish high school strong and we'll go to college from there. But
yeah. So tell me, you're still in high school, but you're playing on the varsity team. Tell us how this works.
Yeah, so it's a pretty cool thing. Golf isn't necessarily the biggest sport, but we've had some pretty good teams. It was pretty cool being seeing that I was varsity as a freshman, but yeah, I haven't played enough league matches, unfortunately, because I've had an injury. But so our team's going to district, I think, this week. So yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, and what does it mean when you say his coach plays you second?
Yeah, so that's my placement on the team. I'm second best on varsity.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, do you have a teacher?
What's that, sorry?
Do you have a golf teacher? Someone who you work with?
I've had a few lessons in the past with a very nice guy named Kevin. He's the pro at my local pro shop.
Uh-huh.
I haven't had a lesson with him in probably over 8 months, but so I've been just grinding as much as I can, just kind of self-teaching, seeing what's wrong with my swing, you know, taking videos of myself, looking in the mirror, all that stuff. So
yeah, that's dedication. I think your mom put it so nicely. I'm incredibly proud of him, and I'm doing my best as a mom to support his dreams as best as I can. That's wonderful to have somebody on your back, you know, like helping you. And she says that on Saturday mornings, you're up early to get to the golf course, which, of course, you live right next to. Nice.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Do you want to be a professional golfer? Duh.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy to say, considering I'm only, you know, 15, and I'm definitely not the best I could be right now. I'm kind of working on my swing, but it's just a dream, I guess. I mean, since I started, I've wanted to go pretty far. So, it's definitely been a goal of mine. But like I said, I want to work my way up there. I'm focusing on high school, then college, and then, you know, we can work on greater levels of golf then. So,
how do you keep up with your schoolwork and your love for the game of golf and practicing?
I wish I could tell you my grades were good, but I mean, I'd say my care for golf is greater than my grades. I daydream about golf through school each and every day. I mean, all I want to do is just get out on the course, and it's pretty draining being in an algebra classroom thinking about golf. So. Yeah.
Yeah. How do I get out of this algebra lesson when I'd rather be on the golf course? What are your favorite clubs?
Yeah.
What is your favorite club to play?
I'm pretty proud to say that I've kind of made driver my best friend.
Right on.
But next down would probably be my 6-iron. I love my 6-iron very much. It's kind of my comfy club. So,
why is the 6-iron your comfy club? Because right now you're teaching people. What's good about the 6-iron?
I don't know. It's just something I kind of clicked with, I guess. I mean, you have the, you know, all the clubs in your bag, and you kind of just throughout the years, you kind of just bond with one, I guess. So that mm-hmm. sounds kind of weird, but
no,
you just kind of have a happy club that you like to play.
Yeah.
That's kind of my comfortable club.
Yeah, I totally understand. And it's like my happy club is the putter.
Right, yeah.
But
I wish I could say I like the club, but I really hate putting. So.
Yeah, yeah, it's something you're going to have to work on.
for sure, yeah.
Let's see, what is it? Swing for show, putt for dough, something like that, you know?
Right. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, so you know, when you're on the green, that's where you got to, you know, watching everybody lip out yesterday on the LPGA, it was like, oh my gosh, who created that? That hole, you know.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, and they've been playing a long time. They're professionals, you know.
Right.
Who do you like to watch on television? Anybody?
I've always been really inspired by Rory McIlroy. He's kind of my idol in a way, I guess.
Yeah.
I've always kind of looked up to him, and I just kind of want to follow his path and be like him. So
were you listening? I think you were listening while I was talking with Jaime Diaz.
Yeah,
and I think one of the most important parts of his conversation with me was, you know, Scottie Scheffler is very there's not a lot of ups and downs in his world. He makes sure that he just goes forward. He doesn't let the emotions get in the way. And Rory has a little bit of that, which is great to watch. You know, it's great for us, but it's hard to play if you have a lot of emotional anxiety going on because you've just, made a mistake. Do you have that, and how do you tame yourself? That sounds weird, but yeah, I think you know what I mean.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people would be lying if they said that they don't get emotional on the golf course, but you just kind of have to focus on next shot and just overcome it. I mean, definitely easier said than done, and I wish I could say that I've mastered it, but, I mean, golf is so mentally challenging that you've just got to go out there and just be your best.
Yeah.
And whether that's your mindset or your physical swing, I mean, you've just got to do your best, so.
I'm just curious if you have like a little, how do we do that? Sometimes I get so, involved in beating myself up.
Right. Yeah.
But I think it's something that most of us do,
Right. Yeah.
But there's got to be like, okay, say some prayer to the golf gods.
Right.
Help me.
I personally, I definitely get stressed on the golf course and I get mad at myself, and I think that's just, you can do better. But it sounds kind of weird. I just do breathing exercises. I mean, box breathing is a really good one. It just kind of calms your mind, and just focusing back on what's actually important is definitely important in the game. So
I think that's brilliant what you just said. Okay. And
thank you.
Absolutely. And you've got your head on your shoulders just fine, Shea Campbell. Freshman. So what's your school? Is you at Washington State?
Yeah. Yeah.
It sounds like a college, Washington State.
Right. Yeah.
Is it a college?
We have colleges.
Yeah, I can't figure out if you're in high school still or if you're in college.
Oh, I'm in high school. Yeah,
you're in high school, but you take class. You're on the Washington State varsity team. Do I have that right?
I'm at Bellingham High School. I'm at the high school varsity team.
Ah, okay. All right. I just, all these things, I'm trying to put it all in my mind. I want you on the show again. I want to get everything right.
Yeah, right.
See, that's my problem with golf. See, I want to get everything right. Sometimes you just can't get everything right, and you just got to deal with what you get, Right?
For sure.
Shea Campbell, thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse with me. A pleasure meeting you, and I look forward to talking with you again.
Of course. Thank you so much, Danielle.
Thank you, and say hi to your mom for me.
I will.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Aloha. We're going to come back. Claude Brousseau is a PGA Master, Director of Player Development at Wailea Golf Academy, a ranked number one teacher in the state in Hawaii, and Golf Digest list of best teachers three times in a row. So, you know, from 2019 to 2025, he's going to be with us after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamila Road on the Evaside. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliant signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
Poipu Bay on Kauai, South Shore. Share our home with Need a Gift for That Special Someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay Golf Gift Certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
Hey, Mark Rolfing here. The First Tee Hawaii is a nonprofit organization that helps kids build character, confidence, and life skills through golf. And we need volunteers like you to coach our next generation of golfers. No matter your skill level, our free coach training gives you tools to mentor kids. We have locations on all the islands, and enrollment is open now for our Level 1 coach certification. Call 808-500-1515.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Claude Brousseau, PGA Master, Director of Player Development, Wailea Golf Academy at Wailea Golf Club on Maui, ranked number one teacher in the state of Hawaii by Golf Digest. List of best teachers 2024-2025, third time in a row. 2022, 2023, best in every state, second time in a row. Also number one for 2019 and 2020. Welcome into the clubhouse, Claude.
Good morning, Danielle. Thank you for having me. And the first thing I would like to say, I'm a day in advance, but I want to wish you happy Mother's Day for tomorrow.
Thank you. Thank you. I miss your section in Morning Read. And you were also in Sports Illustrated. It was called Golf Tips in Paradise. I think you should do that again.
Yes, we are talking with the Sports Illustrated as we speak now to see how they may bring it back. So it's a work in progress, Danielle.
I totally understand that. we're all a work in progress. It is what it is in life, right? We're all working our best. But you're just amazing. Do you go to classes, perchance? How do you always get to be best in the nation, in the state?
Yes, I do. I do. I go at least to live, I will call that, seminars six times a year. I always go to the PGA show. That week is really full of opportunity to learn. And then on a daily basis, I'm reading stuff about golf. I'm watching other excellent pro how they do it. And I'm like an advisor with V1 Sport. It's a software that I use to give the video to the people who come here. We do remote coaching. So I'm always in the lookout. Like, in fact, you, Danielle, and what you do, or your listener, they look for improvement. What happened in life is not about change. it's not about chance. Sorry, when you get better in life, it's not about chance. It's about changing. Change. You need to change. You need to learn. You look at, evaluate. Oh, could I do this better? Where can I learn? I often say to the golfer, Daniel, success leaves clues. So if you look at successful people, there is a reason why they are that way. Maybe we can learn from them.
Yeah, yeah, I get it. You know, I wanted to ask you, the V1 sports ambassador that you are, it's backed by Black Cat Ventures, a golf technology started by Michael Jordan. Can you tell us a little bit about V1 Sports?
Oh, yes. V1 Sport is a great organization. Alex Pasek is the CEO there, and then they really help golfers like to learn better. So they have an app, V1 app. They have over, I think it's close to 300,000 users in the world.
Wow.
Then, the app is free. You go on the Apple Store or, you know, other device, and then you download the app. And then in the app, you can look for drills, and you can select a coach. Let's say you can select Claude as your coach. You send me your video. We analyze it. You have model of pros that you can look into that as well. And then there is a chat box that, you know, after you select your pro, we can chat about your swing. It allowed us to coaches to keep in touch with the golfer they want to improve, and they really look out to make sure that a golfer can access best expertise to get better. It's a fantastic organization.
Wow! So this is the Virtual Golf Academy, right? And it's virtualgolfacademy.tv.
No, this one is you will go V1 Sports.
Okay.
V1Sports.com.
Okay, V1Sports.com. All right, and then I can actually interact with you via the mm-hmm. app and show you what, you know, my swing looks like, and you can see, and then you can tell me what you'd suggest I do to improve my swing.
Exactly. You send me a video of your swing, and then I will analyze it, and I will send you a video with the voiceover. And I will say, okay, Danielle, this is what you do good first. Keep doing that. Then this is how you need to improve. And I have a library of drills in there that you can look at. And then I will send you a specific drill just for you.
Wow.
It's so interesting. Just give you an example. Last week, somebody reached out to me. That was the dad there in Ohio. That was for his daughter. So she sent the video first, analyze it, and then we can do live lesson. This is so cool. I mean.
Yes,
so she's in Ohio. I'm here on Maui on the tee box. And then I'm watching her hit it shots, and then I'm telling her, okay, let's do that exercise. Show me how you do it. And then the next week, she's a junior in school, and then she went and she plays her best round, and then she finished a medalist in the tournament. She's so excited. So it allowed golfer anywhere in the world to access the best expertise. I think this is cool.
It is. It's very cool. And what's also cool is that, you know, I didn't even really think about when I was talking with Shay Campbell about, you know, those times when you get like a little frustrated with yourself. And one of the points that I wanted to bring up, because, you know, you gave me some interesting questions here. What is the most important shot in golf? And I thought the most important shot in golf is the driver off the tee, because it shows, you know, from there I go to the next thing. No, you say to play at your best, you need patience, resilience, bounce back ability, and short term memory. Thank you.
Yeah, but you see, Danielle, let's say this year, I know it's in the past, but it's just recent, when Rory won the Master, okay?
Yeah.
There's 19 million people watching it at the peak. That's 33% more than the previous year.
Wow.
This is amazing for golf when you think about it.
Yes.
Now, this is so great because, you know, all the golfers, they had that mindset of, I need to be consistent. Yeah, is Rory was consistent? Not really. Mm-hmm. But he was consistent at one thing, the bounce back. And then what I mean by that is the most important shot is the one that you're playing right now. The one that you had played before may be a good one in the middle of the fairway. That's better. You could be in the water like you did on 15, but you have to have a very short memory for that shot. And then you say, okay, let's focus on the one that I need to do. So what really matters to the best indicator of your success in golf is what do you do after you miss a shot? How get yourself ready to don't make two not so good shots in a row? You have to forget the one you just did. You need to focus on what you're doing for the shot at hand right now. And I think it's very important to make a difference between expectation and believing in yourself. Here's what I mean by that, Daniel. Expectation is people say, hey, Claude, I expect you to do a good shot. I say, okay, that's okay. But expectation creates tension and then open the door for deception if you don't do it.
Right.
Now, before you swing, in your mind, Daniel, and everybody listening today, missing a shot doesn't exist before you swing. Let me repeat that. Before you move the club, missing the shot shouldn't exist in your head. So you don't need to expect to do a good one because missing it is not part of the universe. So if you play golf that way, you believe in yourself and you're good until proven otherwise. It's a better way to approach every shot.
Right, right. You know, and I was just thinking of the best strikes that I've had, the contact between the club face and the ball is when I wasn't thinking.
Correct, Danielle. Correct, yeah. Danielle.
Yeah. How did I do that?
Mm-hmm. But this is so important, Danielle, what you're saying, because you see, when you ask yourself how I just did that, mm-hmm. but you have to be able to recognize, having a coach helping you to tell you what you do well is good too, uh-huh. but now you say, oh, I just did that, and this is Danielle and your listener recipe to do a good shot. So now you better to have an idea how you move your body in the club to make that happen. It's you don't have to be able to explain it to somebody else or even yourself intellectually, but you have to recognize in your senses, Danielle, how did you move your body? Well, you were not thinking. You were an athlete. What was your clear intention? Was it hitting the ball or swinging a club efficiently? Was it, did you have a lot of tension in your body? This is identifying what made you good at swinging the club efficiently and make a good contact. I like the word you use. You didn't say, I hit it good, Danielle. You said that was a fantastic or a very good contact club ball.
Mm-hmm. I hear
you. That's quite different for the brain.
Yeah.
This game is not about hitting a ball. It's about hitting the target. So the mindset has to be on the target. And that white little thing or pink or whatever color she is down on the ground is not the target. It's a golf ball. So the mindset has to be swinging a club efficiently to move the ball towards the target. Just that changed the way people play golf.
Wow. You know, and that's so cool. You know, something else I wanted to ask you about. How can I be my own caddy?
Oh, yeah. I love this one. Because But no, no, seriously, because we don't have a professional caddy with us, playing, but you can be your own caddy. So let's say you got a shot, just as an example, 30-yard shot over either a bunker, a creek, or it could be green. I tell people it doesn't matter what is in between the ball and the hole or the distance you want to move the ball or, you know, get the ball airborne to 30 yards. So what you will do is you will tell yourself what you want to do. So you say, I need the ball to go 30 yards in the air. Then what type of trajectory would like on that? Well, I need a little bit higher, so you select a club for that. Then you say, okay, how much speed or swing do I need to make that happen? Because when you do that, and then you commit to it, you feel it, you cannot at the same time be distracted. I call that distract the distractor. You cannot be distracted by either the bunker or the creek or the lake you have to go over. When you watch, they do that more and more on TV now to make golf more interesting and, of course, getting the rating up. They get the microphone a lot closer to the caddy and the players.
Mm.
If you pay attention to that, that give you an idea of how you can coach and be your own caddy. They will say, okay, I need, let's say, 130 yards to cover the bunker. So that means the player knows the ball needs to go at least 130 yards in the air. Then let's say the flag is at 136. It's okay, I need to make it stop at 136. And then often the caddy will just say, okay, you got that. Come in. Do it. So you can do that to yourself, Danielle.
Yes, I hear you. I like what you wrote here. Step to the ball, look at your landing zone, swing without thinking mechanics.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The mechanics, Danielle, the mechanics, when you go on the golf course, Danielle, you have to perform with the mechanics you have on that day. If the mechanics is not to your up to par for you or your standard that you would like to play, hire a coach, and then you get the mechanics better at the practice facility or at the academy where you go at.
Uh-huh.
On the golf course, okay, let's say you listen to an interview after the winner or anybody played that day, ladies and gentlemen. How many of them have said, oh, you know what? My club was so much on plane today, it's unbelievable. Maybe that's why I won the tournament. We never heard that. So they are not on the mechanics part of it when they play.
Yeah. And you know, I think it's called stinking thinking. You know, if we think too much after a while, we start questioning whether what we're suggesting to ourselves is actually accurate. And then you start wondering if you can really pull this off. And all that doubt that gets mixed up in the whole thing, and it happens in all facets of life. But in golf, it just seems to be, larger than life because we don't have a lot of confidence.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So, yeah.
But I like to bring that up to us, Danielle. It's confidence is a feeling. Competence is a skill. It's tough to be confident when you're not skillful. You get over the ball, you have no clue where that thing will go. Oh, I'm confident, though. Yeah. That will not last very long during the round because the first one, you top it, the next one goes left, the next one goes right, the fourth one goes where you want.
It's
kind of exaggerating a bit, but
no,
we need both in golf.
Yeah.
But I would like to share the one that it says here, it's from James Clear. He's a writer, and it's very interesting what he does. But this one is, your mind is a suggestion engine. Every thought you have is a suggestion, not an order. You have the power to choose which option to follow.
Oh, I like that.
That's kind of important in golf and in life, isn't it?
Uh-huh. Absolutely. And you know, certainly in happiness.
Oh, yes.
Let's go over these quick tips to play better golf and to parents. Advice to parents, three things they should say to their child before they play.
Yes.
What's number
Let's
one?
Start with this one.
Yes.
Yeah, number one is have fun.
Yes.
Number two, do your best on every shot. And number three, they're important too. I love you regardless of the result today.
Wonderful. Take the stress off of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful. Claude Brousseau, thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse. There's so much to learn from you, and you kind of sort things out for me. I appreciate it very much.
I appreciate you inviting me as a guest, and it's a pleasure. Mahalo and aloha.
Aloha. We're coming back. Mark Rolfing is with us in the clubhouse. Yay, Mark Rolfing. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
I'm Colin Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghaus, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
Okay, before I start this, K-O-R-L, Waianae, Honolulu, and happy Mother's Day. Happy, happy, happy Mother's Day. And, you know, you don't have to do anything really spectacular for mom. Just being acknowledged is really the most important thing, I think, in my experience of being a mom. So, you know, don't just say thank you for the things you've done for me this past year. You know, the cooking and the cleaning and all the stuff that she does and the shopping and the laundry and whatever else. All right. It is Aloha Power Mother's Day week sale. So you know what? Up to 25% off major brands of landscaping equipment featuring our Doorbuster sale. Honda EU 2200 generator is just $1,099 and there's a free 2-year warranty that's worth $250. And all of this priced better than the big box stores. So you need power on your job site. That's a given. You need to keep your lights on, your equipment running. Others are in the dark, but not you. Get your Honda generator. You want them? We got them. And they're on sale today because tomorrow they're closed. All right, we ship off island. New shipments arrive daily, and they're open Monday through Saturday. As I mentioned, they only take Sundays off, and tomorrow, of course, is Mother's Day. Aloha Power Equipment, Evile, next to the Costco gas station. It's really easy to see them. They've got a gigantic sign, you know, on Alakava Street, real close to Costco. The other one in Waipahu, and it's on Farrington Highway, but it's on the eastbound, the Cocoa Head bound lanes of Farrington. It's on that side, the Mackay side of Farrington Highway. And they're right at the edge of Waipahu Depot Street. So that's pretty much on the corner. And so you really want to be going east. But if you're going, you know, west, or if you're going Eva bound, then you just have to make a U-turn and get in there, because it's a great sale for Aloha Power Equipment's Mother Day's week sale. It's a week-long sale, but they're not open on Sunday. Get in there. I'm Danielle Tucker, and we're going to come back right after this.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamula Road on the Eva side. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliant signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
Man, I thought that was in the cup. It bounced out. I've been robbed. Now, back to the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
And we're bringing Mark Rolfing, Golf Channel, NBC Sports, golf commentator and analyst, into the clubhouse. Kapalua Golf Marketing Director, member of the Hawaii Golf Hall of Fame, and member of DePauw University Hall of Fame. GoHawaii.com, and he's host of the Golf Hawaii Travel and Global Golf Adventure. You know what? I need to see that. And speaking of seeing, welcome into the clubhouse, Mark.
Well, good morning, Danielle. Thanks for having me again. How the heck are you?
That could be a very long segment of the show.
I understand. I'm glad you're on the air.
Thank you. Okay. Tell us about GolfHawaii.com.
Well, you know, it's a website that's not as active as it was back in the day. If you remember, I did a show for years and years. It was on ESPN, actually. I think it ran for 7 seasons on ESPN.
Fabulous.
And then another 8 on Golf Channel. And it was basically traveling around the island and showing you all the various golf destinations here in Hawaii and even some of the public courses and little-known places, you know, that little 9-hole golf courses here and there. And it became kind of part of our golf culture out here for a long, long time. And so even though we're not doing the show anymore, it was the longest-running magazine, sports magazine show of its kind on any television network. And there still is a lot of activity, and people can find all sorts of archival footage and things on GolfHawaii.com. So it's a neat little website.
Yeah, so they can see some of the things that you've done that was shown on ESPN. But you take people on a journey of various golf courses?
Yeah, you do. And, you know, you can find the same thing, frankly, on YouTube in a lot of places.
Okay.
But we had some incredible shows. I remember one show, a Christmas show we did one year. We had Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, and Bill Murray were the 3 guests on that show. So that was pretty cool.
That was very cool. And let me see, who was the funny guy?
I don't know. Michael thinks it's him, but he's actually not that funny.
Oh, my goodness. All right. I just want to, you know, kudos to Nelly Korda, Somi Lee, and Andrea Lee for not melting down on, I can't remember what hole it was, at the 18th, you know, and everybody was lipping out. I don't, did you happen to catch that? It was like, oh, God, again?
Yeah, I did catch a little of that. You know, there's a lot of pressure on Nelly right now, Danielle, because it's been a while since she's won a tournament. And, you know, she hasn't finished particularly strong in some of these recent weeks. And so a lot of pressure on her. But she's got herself in a pretty good spot right now heading into the weekend.
Yeah, yeah. It's a 3-way tie. And it's, you know, I've never been to Liberty National, but just seeing pictures, I'd just be in awe of just seeing, you know, the Statue of Liberty just right there.
Yeah, I love the site. I was there for the President's Cup. We were there in 2017, and it was quite an event. You'd be surprised at how small the golf course is. I actually like a lot about it because it's in some ways the golf course of the future. As we run out of land and run out of water on this planet, you're going to see smaller, tighter packed golf courses, and Liberty National is one of them.
Wow. You know, that was really well said. Thank you very much. So the PGA Tour, it's not the PGA Tour, it's the PGA of America. PGA Championship, they've got a preview. I think it's on CBS. I was at 8 o'clock this morning. I thought, yeah, I wish I could be seeing that right now because then I'd have more intelligence.
Well, yeah, the PGA Championship, you know, kind of showcases the PGA of America at its best, and there's just a lot of initiatives that the PGA of America is engaged in right now. PGA Hope, PGA Reach.
Yes.
You know, they're huge into diversity. They're huge into helping our veterans and people who have served our country, and that's what they're able to do in and around the PGA Championship. And that's one of the reasons why they decided to move the PGA Championship in the schedule. If you remember, for years and years, the PGA Championship was the final major of the year in August. And they didn't have quite as much flexibility as they do in May, when they moved to May a few years ago. You know, it kind of put the PGA Championship in the forefront early in the golf season for them. Because by August, summer's almost over in a lot of places. And so now the golf seasons are just starting, so everybody's revved up, particularly back on the East Coast.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I bet. And I'm revved up to see how Rory McIlroy does this, you know, this coming week, because, you know, we've got Scottie Scheffler back in the saddle again. He certainly found his game, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. You know, it's interesting. I don't remember a major championship, Danielle, in quite some time where all the best players are playing as well as the top players are playing right now. If you look at Scheffler, obviously, and McIlroy, they're great. The only one that isn't playing particularly well right now is Victor Hovland, but all the other guys are playing great. And I've done a number of interviews over the last week or so about the PGA Championship, and one of the questions that people ask a lot of times, and it's a very intriguing question to me, and that is, when they are at their absolute best, if you look at two players and they are playing their absolute best, who is better, Rory McIlroy or Scottie Scheffler?
Oh, my.
And the statistics would probably argue that it's Scottie Scheffler. But I am going to say that I think if they are playing at their best, Rory McIlroy is better. And there's two reasons why I say that. He hits the ball farther than Scottie, so he's got the length advantage, and that's going to be a big factor next week. Because it's a very long golf course down at Quail Hollow. And the other thing, which is pretty apparent, is that Rory McIlroy is a better putter than Scottie Scheffler when he's at his best.
Uh-huh.
Now, having said that, Scheffler is a much better short iron player than Rory McIlroy. That's where he kind of trumps him in that respect. But McIlroy is my favorite next week. I'm with you. I think it would be so good for golf if McIlroy were to win that PGA and then go into the U.S. Open at Oakmont with two legs of the personal Grand Slam for
yes.
the year.
Yes.
I think that would be really exciting. And I think he could win pretty easily next week because the pressure's off him now that he's won the Masters.
Yes. I mean, chicken skin here. No, you know, and what would be cool about that is, you know, the Tiger factor, and I bring him up not because I want to dwell on Tiger Woods. It's just the way he played, the way he played when you couldn't help but keep your eyes on him. It wasn't the red shirt, it was the concentration, and then this exuberance about it that really wasn't shown that much in his body language, but you just felt it somehow. It was really a unique experience for me. Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, they all had their je ne sais quoi, but, you know, Tiger was on a different level of everybody.
Well, Tiger was, and I think what people enjoyed so much were two things about Tiger. And on top of it all, I think people like watching dominant performances, and he gave
yes.
us that certainly 25 years ago back in the year 2000.
But oh, yes.
People like Tiger and the way he reacted to his golf. And one of the beefs that I have, frankly, right now with the young and up-and-coming players is they are just so robotic, and they don't show the kind of emotion that Tiger does.
Yes.
And when Tiger was holing those putts, that he would walk into the hole when they were halfway, you know,
yes.
to the hole from 25 feet, and he would walk them in and point at that hole. And
yes.
and he just, people loved watching his style of golf. And I think the younger players would do well to take a look at
you know, what Tiger did and the way he reacted and seen it a lot of times. I mean, Ludvig Åberg is a phenomenal player.
Yeah, he
but
is.
But he is just so stoic in what he does. You don't see any reaction, whether he has a good shot or a bad shot. It's just like a real flatliner. And the thing about Rory is, he's not a flatliner. And I think that's what people like about
him. You know what? You just described it perfectly for me. It drives me crazy. But by the same token, the lessons that we're teaching young golfers is to, you know, mind your emotions. Don't let them get the best of you, you know, and blah, 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 which is important in the game of golf, you know, particularly for those of us who aren't that good at it. But at that, their level, I think they can throw that one out the window and show us a little bit about what's going on, because they've got their game. And now show us how you feel about your game. You know, show us.
Well, I'm totally with you. And it can work both ways. It can work with negative emotions, too. And the guy that comes to mind is John Rahm. You know, he was criticized so early on in his career, John Rahm, about the bad temper that he had.
Oh, yes.
And so he tried to basically change the way he acted on the course. And look, I don't think anybody should be having tantrums out there, and a lot of what he was doing was way over the top. But when he tried not reacting negatively and not kind of letting people know how he felt, it did not work at all.
For him.
His game went totally downhill.
Yep.
When he tried to not get mad out there. That's just his nature. And I don't think it's that bad a thing to let some of that go. Because if you're going to hit a good shot the next shot after you hit a bad one, you better get something off your chest first.
Yes. We're told to internalize it or let it go. But, you know, it's really hard. Just, you know, as you said, you know, people are who they are. And in his case, he's just one of those flamboyant kind of guys, you know, and he lets it go. We may not like the way he's letting it go. But, yeah, I get it. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And where are you going to be?
I'm going to be in Hawaii next week. During the PGA, because we don't do a day show on Golf Channel of live from, because the ESPN hours are so long this time of year in May, so I don't do a day show. So my next event is the week after in Washington, D.C. at the senior PGA. So the next major that I do is the U.S. Open at Oakmont.
Oh, cool. Cool. But what course are they playing, the seniors?
Seniors are playing Congressional, which I hear is just absolutely phenomenal. Of course, that's where Rory McIlroy won his U.S. Open. I think it was by 8 shots many moons ago. But I hear that it's been totally kind of redone, and I hear the rough is pretty stout, and it's going to be a really good test. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and Congressional is from what I understand, I haven't seen it. But it's a spectacular golf course, and I can't imagine the PGA Tour going anywhere, you know, other than a spectacular golf course. They're really lucky, these guys. They've got it really good.
They do.
You know. And what do you think of the purses? You know, do you think that the money thing has gone a little bit too far? $4 million.
I think in general. Take a look at golf and the audience that golf appeals to. It is a pretty small niche market. This is not the National Football League or even the NBA or Major League Baseball. And certainly these players all think they should be the top players. They should be in the financial category of even the top soccer players, the Ronaldos, you know, and guys like that around the world. I mean, I think it's too much. I don't think it's sustainable. I take a look at this event here, you know, right next to my home here on Maui, the Century, you know, where the purse has gone all the way to $20 million.
Yep.
I'm not sure financially that is sustainable long term. And frankly, what difference would it make to a small field, a limited field, what difference would it make if they're playing for $15 million or $20 million, but all that money that basically is going into the purses now is money that either could go to charity and do some real good, or could, you know, make it more sustainable for the sponsors.
Yep.
But a lot of sponsors are just getting priced out of the marketplace.
Yep. That's the real hard part. And I was hearing someone grousing about the signature events and the fields are too small. He really doesn't like the signature. This is a player on the tour.
Yeah, that would have been Eric Van Rooyen.
Okay.
Or Lucas Glover. The two guys that have been the most outspoken are Glover and Van Rooyen.
Yeah.
And I'm with them. Look, the signature events were created to try and get the best players in the world together more often. And in the beginning, the signature events were mandatory. You had to play. You couldn't skip a signature event. But for example, the Hilton Head event was a signature event the week after the Masters, and McIlroy didn't play. I totally understand. He had just completed the career Grand Slam. But to me, you shouldn't create situations like that to put players in a position for that. And I think 8 signature events is too many. I think 4 would be a perfect number. They have trouble, you know, trying to figure out who's actually going to get into those events now. And if you take a look at even this week in Philadelphia at the Cricket Club, you know, the same guys are getting sponsor exemptions that always get them. Jordan Spieth was not eligible. He got one. Ricky Fowler got one. Gary Woodland got one. It's kind of coming down to a little bit of a club, a popularity club, or a lot of people are pointing fingers at players that are on the tournament policy board.
Oh,
you know, they think it's some kind of payback. Like Webb Simpson has gotten into, I think, 3 or 4 signature events. So has Adam Scott.
Wait a minute.
Players with influence. So this whole meritocracy argument for the PGA Tour has gone away a little bit with these signature events.
Wow. You know, what money, money tends to make things a little bit weird. And we ran out of time, you know. My show ends in like 3 minutes and 40 seconds. But I didn't realize that the purse for the PGA Championship hasn't been revealed yet. Did you? But last year, Xander Schauffele took home $3,330,000. Bryson DeChambeau took in $1,998,000. Victor Hovland got himself $1,258,000. And gee whiz, Thomas Detry and Colin Morikawa, they were tied for fourth and they had to split it. They only got $814,000.
Oh, boo-hoo for them. Feel bad for them.
Mark Rolfing, it is always fun talking with you. Thank you for taking the time to be inside the clubhouse with me.
You got it. Let's do it again before the U.S. Open.
Oh, I'd love to. Okay. You tell me the Saturday and we're sealing the deal.
You're on.
And I got to thank the people who make this show possible. It's Aloha Power's Mother's Day week sale. Okay. Sale. Yeah. 25% off your favorite brands of landscaping tools and our doorbuster. Yeah, the Honda EU2200 generator, $1,099. A free 2-year warranty worth $250. You want them? Hey, we've got them. So get yours today at Aloha Power Equipment. Monday through Saturday, they're not open on Mother's Day. They're not open on Sundays. In Evilay, they're next to the Costco station. You can't help but see the gas station, you know, and then there's this big sign that says Aloha Power. In Waipahu, they've got a big sign, too, yes. And they're actually on the Makai side of Farrington Highway, Waipahu Depot Street. You don't have a sign. As I'm driving down the street going, I can't find an address. Where are those at? Where is it? Give me a sign. And thank you, the Aloha Section PGA. Teach your children to play golf. It is absolutely the gift that lasts forever. For self, for health, for friendship, go golf. And by the way, I think we're going to be over at Mid-Pacific Country Club next week. because I believe we have the Jenny Kay that's playing that week. And so I'm looking forward to being at Mid-Pacific Country Club, that is. And I'm really looking forward to seeing the ladies play. So thank you for being with us this morning. It's going to be kind of interesting today. Mostly sunny, breezy, scattered showers. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. Kauai, Oahu, Maui, Molokai, Lanai. High 87, easterlies 15 to 25. So there is some cooling for us. Mostly sunny on the Big Island. Breezy, leeward, a little bit warmer, 88 degrees. Only 87. Get ready for summer. Thank you for your mama. May you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2025.